Okay, so I am currently hosting an Ask Me Anything session about bureaucracy, which appropriately is titled Ask Me Anything About Bureaucracy. So, what I'll do right now is I will read my description of that Ask Me Anything session, and then I will read the questions I've gotten along with my answers to those questions. Okay, a bureaucracy is a pseudo-functional organization whose behavior mimics that of a legitimately functional organization. And a bureaucrat is a pseudo-functional person whose behavior mimics that of a legitimately functional person. Because bureaucracies merely pretend to discharge the functions that they claim to discharge, they end up behaving defensively and obstreperously towards people who go to them actually expecting them to discharge those functions. A bureaucracy is an organization whose identity is a script-based faux identity, and the same is true of the bureaucrat. Bureaucratism is the number one threat to our quality of life. Just as technology seems to be emancipating us, bureaucracy is enslaving us, almost as though bureaucrats and bureaucracies were aware of and afraid of the prospect of our being able to enjoy freedom. I have studied bureaucracies and bureaucrats for many years, and I would like to share what I have to say about them with you, so ask me anything about them. Okay. So, the first question is from Brianna, and she asks a question not about bureaucracies, but about my interests. And a lot of these people, by the way, have been to other Ask Me Anything sessions about me, so they have a lot of ex parte knowledge about me. Okay, so Brianna asks, do you agree with all of Freud's theories? Which ones particularly resonate with you? And here's my answer. One insight of Freud's that particularly resonates with me is his point that symptoms are surrogates for repressed actions. Consider, for example, the man who unconsciously hates his mother and deeply resents having to take care of her. He tells himself that he loves her, and this is what he consciously believes. To this end, he is so assiduous in his attentions to her that he smothers her, micromanaging her existence to the point where the latter becomes torture. Do I agree with all of Freud's contentions? I would not say so. Although I believe, for example, that sexuality is important, I don't think it has quite the significance that Freud ascribes to it. I believe that much of the psychopathology that Freud ascribes. Much of the psychopathology that Freud ascribes to sexual repression is really a consequence of repression of aggression, which is often alloyed with sexuality, hence Freud's confusion on this matter. But, so I believe it is the aggression per se, not the sexuality, that serves as a vehicle, not the sexuality that serves as a vehicle for that aggression that, by virtue of being repressed, is causing the trouble. Okay. The next question is from Tatiana. What are some of the negative psychological traits that define most bureaucrats, and do you believe that a bureaucrat can be cured of his psychosis? Here's my answer. A bureaucrat is somebody who follows an institutional script instead of following his own judgment. Bureaucrats think in terms of procedures as opposed to substance. They think in terms of rules, not principles. They are devoid of all noble sentiments and are driven only by spite and ill will. They seem to be aware of their smallness and also of their inability to do anything about it. At the same time, a bureaucrat has no desire to not be a bureaucrat and therefore cannot be cured, as it were, of his depression, of his condition. Sorry. That was a Freudian slip. Hassan asks, is it possible to have a democratic and political nation without bureaucracy? And what are some of your suggestions to achieve this? Here's my answer. Wherever there are institutions of scale, there is bureaucracy. There is no such thing as a perfectly efficient mechanism, and this is no less true in the realm of politics than it is in the realm of physics. But some political configurations are more bureaucracy-free than others. In terms of how to achieve this, I think that digitizing education will go a long way towards it. I think that people acquire a taste, as it were, for bureaucracy and an excessive degree of tolerance for it while they are being, quote unquote, educated in school, where almost all of the instruction they are given is bureaucratic pseudo-instruction. And I think that if people were homeschooled by being given individualized cyber instruction as opposed to non-individualized instruction in a classroom, they would see how efficient non-collective and non-bureaucratic educational environments are, and armed with that benchmark in mind, they would thus have a healthy contempt for bureaucracy. And this sentiment, if sufficiently widespread, would inhibit the growth of bureaucracy. Okay, Van asks, in what ways have people opposed your views on bureaucracy, and what other forms of media have you used to distribute your opinions regarding bureaucrats? Okay, so here's my response. My views on bureaucracy have been opposed by bureaucrats and only by bureaucrats. And when they were being opposed, it was by bureaucrats who wanted to restrict the free play of human judgment and intuition by imposing more rules on human activity and specifically on the use of independent judgment. As for the media that I have used, it has typically been me lecturing in a classroom or me lecturing online in settings such as this one. I also have an anti-bureaucracy podcast, and I give the link below, as well as an anti-bureaucracy YouTube channel, which is this channel. Okay, Maya asks, in your opinion, what would happen to society if bureaucracy were to be eradicated? I will read it again since I stammered. In your opinion, what would happen to society if bureaucracy were to be eradicated? Here's my answer. Bureaucracy would immediately recrudesce, but so long as it didn't, people would feel 10,000 pounds lighter and life would be better. Okay, Harvard Petty Politics asks, thanks for hosting this AMA. It feels like bureaucracy sustains itself through meaningless processes, that is, innumerable procedural hurdles that feign legitimacy but actually exhaust those seeking accountability. How can we break through that cycle to hold bureaucrats' feet to the fire? All right, so here's my response. Hi, Harvard, and thank you for the comment. I appreciate the boost. The way to break through the cycle is to optimize our institutions, particularly our educational institutions. And the way to do that is to digitize them. That is, to convert them from brick and mortar institutions into online institutions. And I'll point out parenthetically that this is what I'm doing. Okay, so this YouTube channel, as many of you know, is becoming increasingly about me promoting my business, Philosophypedia, which is all about individualized cyber education. All right, so it is very easy for bureaucrats to infiltrate brick and mortar institutions simply because such institutions have enormous legal and administrative overhead and therefore have lots of inefficiency-based nooks and crannies in which bureaucrats can burrow. But it is very hard for bureaucrats to infiltrate online institutions. I myself am, virtually at this very moment, creating an online university, www.philosophypedia.com, in which I offer one-on-one instruction taught by experts of five times the quality as the corresponding brick and mortar university courses and at one-fifth the cost, or one-tenth, actually. Brown University costs $54,000 a year. That's just tuition. And this is for rather shoddy and decidedly non-individualized classes. The University of Rhode Island costs $20,000 a year, and this is just tuition, and the instruction is comparably shoddy and non-individualized. In terms of holding bureaucrats' feet to the fire, there is no legal or administrative way to do this, since taking legal or administrative action against bureaucrats would itself create and require lots of bureaucracy. But by streamlining the provision of goods and services, especially of education-related ones, bureaucrats will be out on their rear ends. And then I write, go ahead and check out this link, and it's a link to a YouTube video that's pretty much similar to this one, so I won't go ahead and go into that link too much. Okay, E.S. Wynn asks, a certain degree of bureaucracy seems inevitable to me in a civilization. Are there ways to streamline existing forms of bureaucracy in Western civilization to make them more functional and efficient? And I write, yes, a certain degree is inevitable, but a bureaucracy cannot be made efficient, since a bureaucracy is by definition an inefficiency. What can be done is to minimize bureaucracy, and the way to do that is to digitize education. That is, it is to provide individualized high-quality instruction online where outcomes are measured by institution external as opposed to institution internal standards, and this is what I am doing. Okay, so Nicholas asks, when did John Michael Kaczynski decide to enroll in the bureaucracy business, and why exactly is it that you've studied this field? So here's my response. I'm not in the bureaucracy business. I'm in the anti-bureaucracy business. I'm in the business of eliminating bureaucracy, and I did not choose this business. It chose me. I wanted to become a writer and thinker and professor, and I did, but every step of the way, some bureaucracy was trying to thwart me. Bureaucracy tried to prevent me from acquiring ability in the first place. When that failed, it tried to prevent me from getting credentials. When that failed, it tried to prevent me from teaching. When that failed, it cut off financial support. When that succeeded, I realized that I had to make education available in a way that did not involve bureaucracy or bureaucracy-related costs. And I found such a way, and I'm putting it together. My mini university is already available at www.philosophypedia.com. So I'm obviously I'm not attempting to obscure the fact that I'm trying to get business from my business. Okay. So Carolyn Mosley asks, do you actually contemplate individual freedom as a result of bureaucracy? And here's my response. When bureaucracies are around, things happen slowly and predictably. When they are not around, things happen quickly and unpredictably. So to the extent that bureaucracies do good, it is by creating stable conditions in which there is security and predictability. And I guess that's kind of responsive to what she was asking. All right, so Joy asks, what were you looking forward? Let's see. Some of the questions obviously could use a little bit of tidying up in terms of syntax and verbiage and so on, but I'll just read them as they are, which is what I've been doing. What were you looking forward to when considering to create this specific Ask Me Anything session, would you say that you are trying to make people grasp bureaucracy? Here's my answer. Yes, and I am thereby trying to make people aware of the need for streamlined, non-bureaucratic educational services such as I am providing at philosophypedia.com. Ivana asks, have you been a contributor of any politics-related organizations, activities, or such in recent years? Here's my answer. I am not particularly political, and I have done next to nothing in the way of contributing to political organizations. I did attend a couple of events hosted by the Republican Party since I'm a strong supporter of Donald Trump. I support Trump precisely because whatever else he may be, he is not a bureaucrat and because he clearly wants to de-bureaucratize the USA. Both of the major parties in the United States are old and decrepit and are staffed with line-toeing bureaucrats, and Trump is not a bureaucrat, and that is why I support him. I support practically anyone who, unlike a bureaucrat, has actual values. Lara asks, has this political view, I guess she's referring to my views about bureaucrats, not my views about Trump, has this political view affected your life or the lives of your relatives in any way? Did all of what you learned pay back regarding your personal issues? Okay, so I didn't entirely understand the question, but I think I understood it, and here's what I said. I don't know that my views have particularly alienated anyone in my family, which in general has been supportive of, though only to a small degree, understanding of my various views over the years. But I have seen a couple of family members turn into bureaucrats. I saw them basically sell out and die inside, their once vital personalities replaced by robotic bureaucratic replications thereof. Brian asks, how did you become a psychoanalyst and a philosopher? Could you guide us through your early years of study? Here's my answer. I've always been a deeply inquisitive and curious person. When I was 5, my parents used to joke about how often I would ask questions, and I still do. Then, when I was around 14 or so, I had terrible OCD and a variety of other difficulties of various kinds. Not knowing where to turn for answers, I initially read a lot of philosophy, believing that I would find answers to the various questions about the mind that I had. Philosophy did not provide me with those answers, but in the process of studying it, I became intensely interested in it for its own sake, leading to a lifelong passion for the subject. Then, when I was 18, I read Freud, and the answers that I was looking for were right there, stated with complete precision. Then, some of my erstwhile problems recrudesced, which took me off course for around 3 years. At that point, I made a partial recovery and underwent intense psychoanalysis. I had an excellent analyst and then proceeded with him as my mentor to study psychoanalysis formally, and the rest is history. I had one of the greats, actually, as an instructor, and that was a great thing. So John asks, could you name any bureaucrat that has actually done something right for his or her country? Here's my response. Bureaucrats don't really do anything. If they did, they wouldn't be bureaucrats. Bureaucrats are simply there, drifting with the winds of social influence. So in answer to your question, no. No bureaucrat has ever made positive contributions, but many a bureaucrat has done a lot of harm. I actually believe that Stalin and Mao were arch bureaucrats. Trotsky said that, quote, Stalinism represents the bureaucratization of the Russian Revolution, end quote. I believe that these people did so much harm because, being bureaucrats, they were creatively barren, and therefore, when confronted with a problem, could only respond mechanically and unintelligently. That is, by killing people and hiding behind institutional lies, by being bureaucrats, in other words. Maria asks, what would you consider your field or industry to be? Are you striving to do anything that has not been done yet regarding bureaucracies, regarding awareness of bureaucracy? Here's my answer. And my answer may not be an answer, but I'll read it anyway. The bureaucracy that is causing the most problem is the educational bureaucracy. The way around this is to create an online service whereby top people teach students one-on-one. The objective is to have individualized instruction with experts as opposed to non-individualized instruction with non-experts. This can be done, and I'm in the process of doing it. I personally will be teaching around 20 of these courses, many of which are already available at philosophypedia.com. And let's see. Okay, Jojo asks, have Karl Marx's theories helped in the process of developing the whole concept of bureaucracy? And does that amalgamate this theory to the communist one? Here's my response. To be blunt, no. Not only have Marx's theories done absolutely nothing to eliminate the concept of bureaucracy, they have, when implemented, led to massive bureaucracies. Marxism, in practice, is bureaucratism, state bureaucratism. By prohibiting free exchange, Marxism transfers everything, including all power, into the hands of state bureaucrats. As for Marx's theories, I don't recall him ever so much as referencing bureaucrats or bureaucracies. For him, the villain is the so-called capitalist, whom he does not clearly distinguish from the entrepreneur. And that's true about Marx. A capitalist is somebody who puts up investment capital The entrepreneur is somebody who creates the business, and Marx doesn't really distinguish the two, and Marxists don't either. So Deepa asks, being a bureaucrat may take an important part of your time alongside it. Let's see, how have you dealt with this? Would you call this your way of living or just a hobby? A lot of these people, for a lot of these people, English is not their first language, so there are some communication issues. Okay, in any case, here's my response to Deepa. My professional focus is in reforming education, more precisely in digitizing it. I'm figuring out how to provide people with affordable one-on-one high-quality instruction. My intention to do this is a consequence of my having had to deal with such large and obstreperous bureaucracies in the course of being a university student and later a university professor. Abigail Diaz asks, is bureaucracy what you have been interested in since you were young? Have you ever had any other interests that you would like to share? Here's my answer. Bureaucracy is not my primary interest. My primary interest is the mind. I became interested in bureaucracy because I had to deal with so much of it, especially in connection with my own education and employment. But I am able to understand bureaucracy in terms of what I learned in terms of what I've learned about the mind. Okay, RGL asks, could you create a list of the top five things that we should never believe coming from a bureaucrat's mouth? And here's what I wrote. My hands are tied. I will refer your problem to a committee and they will make a fair and impartial decision. All decisions are based on the merits of the applicants, not on personal connections. We hire only experts who have proven themselves. Our primary concern is fairness. Okay. So, and so, some of these things can be said. I mean, so the statement we hire only people who have proven themselves, I mean, that could be said sincerely. I've said it. Our primary concern is fairness. That's a little bit suspicious. Okay. David's Turoa asks, where do you see yourself and all of your knowledge in 10 years? And here I go. Okay. I'm starting an online university, philosophypedia.com, where all courses are taught one-on-one by top people, and it really is coming along. All of which will cost around one-tenth of what college costs. This is possible for two reasons. First, colleges are enormously overpriced. They have enormous unnecessary administrative overhead. Second, there is now such a glut of unemployed PhDs, many of whom are hyper-competent, that it won't be hard to get qualified personnel to teach these classes. This is true. I just a couple of minutes ago, I hired a PhD in physics who's going to be teaching classes for around 25 bucks an hour. And this is a top guy. A lot of my secret is hiring people overseas, where obviously a dollar goes a long way, a lot further than it does here. Okay, I've written a lot of books and articles, but for me, the future now lies in applying knowledge in ways that can improve the educational system. I have done enough theorizing. Milos asks, dealing with powerful bureaucrats may be threatening. Have you ever had any bad experiences regarding this topic? And here's my answer. Yes, I've had decades of grim experiences dealing with small-minded and ill-willed bureaucrats. I dealt with most of them in the context of formal education. That is why I'm trying to reform education. What I can say is that I learned from the experience, and I'm trying to use that experience to make the world a better place, and I believe that is possible. It's very possible. Okay, Camellia asks, in simple words, what does having a script-based faux identity mean? All right, because I said that a bureaucrat was somebody who had a script-based faux identity, and I said that the same was true of bureaucracies themselves. Here is my answer to Camellia. Some people deal with life on its own terms. Other people deal with life through narratives that they get from other people, from society, from TV, from the news, from their employers and supervisors. People who have a script process experiences according to that script, not according to the actual contents of those experiences. People whose lives and identities are not script. Let's see. Oh yeah, people whose lives and identities are not script-based, people whose lives are real as opposed to script-based, in other words, process their experiences according to the contents of those experiences. The difference between a real identity and a script-based identity is like the difference between a show that does not have a laugh track and one that does have a laugh track or does need a laugh track. Okay. Raging Bull asks, who are you besides a psychoanalyst? What do you dedicate your free time to? I wrote, I like to go for long hikes by myself and I like to read true crime. Okay. Queenie asks, which bureaucrats have you studied and why them in particular? I wrote, actually, one bureaucrat I have studied extensively is Stalin, but I didn't say this when responding to Queenie. Anyway, here's what I said in response to Queenie's question. My professors, they're the bureaucrats that I've studied the most closely. I studied them so closely because they had so much power over me and because they use that power in the most malevolent and also incomprehensible ways. There was no way to explain their behavior on the assumption that their motives bore any resemblance to those of ordinary human beings. More precisely, there was no way to reconcile their behavior with the presumption that people wish to better themselves. I gave them many opportunities to be professors and more generally to do what they supposedly wanted to do, but all they could do was play silly games. At first, I chalked up their behavior to sadism and smallness of character, but then, later, after years of being a professor myself, coupled with years of reflection, I realized that they simply had no free will. They simply could not behave in ways other than those required by their institutional programming. They were not people, I realized, but machines, whose souls had been replaced by narratives. They were bureaucrats, in other words, true empty suits. Let's see, almost done here. Bean asks, is bureaucracy as bad as you are claiming it to be? Why so? Here is my answer. Bureaucracy is to be distinguished from infrastructure. Infrastructure consists of organized ways of providing services on a large scale. Bureaucracy consists of redundant procedures whose supposed purpose is to serve the public, but whose actual purpose is simply to create employment for otherwise unemployable and useless people, and whose effect is to paralyze the very institutions that they are supposed to serve. In any case, when the distinction is made between bureaucracy and infrastructure, it becomes almost a definitional truth that bureaucracy is bad. All right, so that's my AMA, my Ask Me Anything session on bureaucracy, which is almost over, if not over at this point. But I do encourage you to go and attend my AMA session on Philosophypedia, which is still ongoing. All right, talk to you soon.